We'll hear argument now in the case of Schaefer against Calcan Foods. Mr. Jackson.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Donald Jackson. I'm the attorney for the appellant, Thad Schaefer. This case comes to the court on summary judgment in the district court and granted in favor of the appellee Calcan, and of course all inferences in the case must be viewed in the light most favorable to Mr. Schaefer. This is a case of same-sex discrimination, and this court has decided cases similar to this one, and I believe has taken a strong and unambiguous position on similar cases in the past, and I specifically mention the Hostetler versus Quality Dining case as one of those cases. Schaefer has presented sufficient evidence to create a legitimate material factual question as to whether or not the conduct in this case, given the totality of circumstances at this plant and the history of this plant, whether or not the four physical sexually explicit acts plus the sexually explicit language and conduct of the harasser in this case created a hostile work environment based on Mr. Schaefer's sex. There's enough question in my judgment, Your Honors, that a trier of fact and not a district court judge ought to make that decision. On the facts of this case, there's room for a finding in favor of Mr. Schaefer rather than a finding as a matter of law that no reasonable person could ever view the acts in this case as sexual harassment or creating a sexually hostile work environment. In this case, the first two incidents, in my judgment, should be enough, as it was in other cases decided by this court, to at least give Mr. Schaefer a trial on the merits. The harasser in that case, in the first two incidents, first of all, physically forced Mr. Schaefer's face to his crotch area, and while gyrating his crotch and moaning, gave the impression for all in attendance to see that Mr. Schaefer was committing an act of oral sex on him. The second specific incident, this gentleman also grabbed Mr. Schaefer's hand and with physical force forced him to the ground and used his hand as if Mr. Schaefer, again while he was moaning and gyrating his pelvic area, that Mr. Schaefer was masturbating him. And when you consider the size of the two individuals in this case, significantly, in my judgment, a significant fact, the harasser in this case, 6'3", 6'5", somewhere in that neighborhood, 280 to 300 pounds. Mr. Schaefer, 5'10", 170 pounds. The case in this, in my judgment, is not unlike the case in Hostetler versus the Quality Dining case, as I mentioned before. Calcan has argued that, look, those two incidents in and of themselves is not sufficient to create a presumption that there was a hostile work environment or that it changed Mr. Schaefer's attitude towards his job. In the Hostetler case, the court knows that that case involved two incidents. One of them, the first incident, was a co-worker kissing the female involved and inserting his tongue in her mouth. Unwelcome conduct, just as this conduct in the Schaefer case was unwelcomed. The next day he tried to do the same thing to her. To avoid that kind of harassment, she put her head between her legs, and so the second incident, he began to unfasten her bra. She had five buttons on her bra, and he undid four of them with the threat that he would undo the fifth. The court of that case made it clear, this court made it clear, that there is no magic number of incidents which could cause a situation to be a hostile work environment. It's the sufficiency, if it's sufficiently egregious, then even one incident, this court has said on many occasions, could consider a hostile work environment. the object of severity of the harassment should be viewed, the court has said, should be judged from the perspective of a reasonable person in the plaintiff's position, considering all the circumstances. Significantly, almost all the employees who gave testimony in this case, all reasonable persons, believe that the conduct in this case if done to a female in that plant would have been sexual harassment. In fact, many of them said that had this been a female, the object of the harasser's conduct, they would have reported it. But because of the macho nature of the plant, it was not reported. Clearly, the sexual assaults fall.
Is there any claim that the record demonstrates that Calcan attempts to protect women but not men from obnoxious co-workers?
Judge, in this case, the only evidence is that this conduct was practiced against the male employees in the plant. There's no evidence that there was ever any attempt by this harasser to either use vile sexually explicit.
Just listen to my question again.
Judge,
I didn't ask anything about this particular aggressor. I ask whether the record has any evidence that Calcan attempts to protect women but not men from misconduct by co-employees.
No, there's nothing in the record that would so indicate, Your Honor.
Thank you.
What is in the record is that the conduct in this case was practiced only against male employees. And as if I understand the Oncal case and this
women
court,
at Calcan are never harassed? That must be in Nirvana.
Well, whether it is or isn't, Your Honor, I suppose we could find that out if we were given a trial on the merits in this case, but certainly Calcan
has... You see what my problem is. Discrimination can be decided, can be ascertained, only by a comparison in the way in which the two classes are treated. An observation that a particular person was harassed or mistreated tells you nothing about whether the employer is engaged in discrimination.
Well, this isn't an observation about one person. The evidence in this case is clear that the type of conduct by this harasser was only directed towards the male employees of the plant. Whether or not, and in fact, Calcan has taken no effort to protect any of the employees in this plant from this type of harassment.
That also suggests that there's no discrimination. Discrimination is disparate treatment, and that's... It doesn't seem there's any evidence here of disparate treatment.
Well, Your Honor, I view it differently. I believe that there is evidence of disparate treatment in this case, and certainly I think this case is four square on every case that this court's decided in this realm. There's no question that Calcan took no effort whatsoever, notwithstanding the fact that, and you have to believe Mr. Schaefer's claims that he made reports after each one of the four incidents about what was happening to him to the human resources director, and they in essence have said to him, if you don't like what's going on in this plant, you can leave. They also said to him, or Ms. Hargis also said to him, that, you know, I've got too much other things to do than to worry about this incident. I've got 200 other employees that I have to address. So they took no effort, as the law requires, to either investigate or to remedy the circumstances of this case. This case is not unlike the Hostetler case. I fail to see where this could be considered horseplay in a plant. This is about sex. There's no question about it. Masturbation is about sex. Oral sex is about sex. And Mr. Schaefer was a male, and this male employee directed his conduct only at the male employees in the plant, including the conduct which took place in the men's locker room almost on a daily basis. And in fact, the testimony has continued even after Mr. Schaefer left the plant. I see my time is up, and so I'll close at this point. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, counsel. Mr. Davies.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Tom Davies on behalf of appellees. May it please the court. I'll just address a couple of large issues that I see in this case and then rely upon my brief for the remainder of our position. First of all, we do not believe that the record is sufficient to support a claim that the conduct was sufficiently severe or pervasive to create a hostile work environment. In his brief, Schaefer, to this court, Schaefer takes the position that this case is almost a carbon copy of the facts in the Oncale case decided by the Supreme Court and this court's opinion in Shepard versus Slater Steele. I suggest that if you look at the facts of those cases compared to this, those are dramatically different cases. In Oncale, Justice Scalia notes at the beginning of his opinion that out of reasons of brevity and dignity, he chose not to go into an elaborate description of the facts, which are, however, contained in the Fifth Circuit opinion that was...
Which practiced neither brevity nor dignity.
Exactly, and I would prefer not to go into the details, but suffice it to say there were three or four incidents there of three-on-one clear sexual assaults, including the insertion of foreign objects into the body part of Mr. Oncale. Dramatically different facts. In Shepard, decided by this court, the facts were, at least the alleged facts, were that 4 to 5 times a week the harasser there would display his exposed penis to Shepard, rub himself, obviously, to obtain sexual gratification while making comments of a sexual nature. I suggest those facts are clearly different, and this case with 4 incidents, 2 in June, which Mr. Jackson described, 1 in July, which is pulling of chest hairs, and 1 in August, which is a bite on the back through a shirt while Mr. Schaefer was standing or sitting at a computer terminal, are clearly of a significantly different nature.
I think you're minimizing, counsel. We've got repeated daily verbal harassment and 4 physical assaults of a sexual nature. Why is that not enough to get to a jury?
The verbal infamous allegations involve locker room talk in the men's locker room, and I would suggest that as unfortunate as it may be, it is the type of fact of workplace life that does occur in many workplaces.
That can't be separated from the 4 physical assaults of a sexual nature.
Well, again,
I would... It has to be taken altogether and accepted as true.
I understand that, Your Honor. I question whether the 4 assaults were of a sexual nature.
Oh, please. Without having to describe them again on the record, why is not what your opposing counsel described just a few minutes ago obviously of a sexual nature?
I agree that the 2 that he described are.
And in the context of the entire record, why is not the bite on the shoulder and the ripping out of chest hair also physical assaults of a sexual nature?
I would agree that they could be characterized as physical assaults. I would disagree that there was anything about them that was overtly sexual in nature.
By the same person who is doing all these other things? Why is that not a logical inference that a jury could draw?
I simply do not see that the facts are there to support that inference.
And you would stand up in front of a jury and make that argument with a straight face?
Yes, indeed, Your Honor. The second point that I would like to discuss is that there's no evidence to support that this conduct was based upon sex, which is one of the requirements. If I understand Schaefer's argument, he alleges that the fact that it's based upon sex can be shown because Mr. Dill did not engage in the same behavior to female associates of Calcan. I suggest that the case law requires more than that. The fact that Mr. Dill may have some sense of decorum when it comes to how he interacts with women in the workplace versus men doesn't make his behavior because of sex. And the conclusion that would be drawn from counsel's argument would be to completely negate the language in Oncale that there is still a category of male-on-male horseplay that is beyond the reach of Title VII. And I would suggest that that's where this case properly falls. Finally, I would argue that there is absolutely no evidence to support any causal link between the termination in February 2002 and anything related to the alleged reports of sexual harassment in the summer of 2001. We have a different personnel manager involved, Ms. Hargis, who was the personnel manager to whom Schaefer had allegedly reported the incidents, had left the employment of the company completely in October 2001. No evidence that Kemper Campbell, the new personnel manager, was aware of that, and He took action based upon the interaction, the dynamics created by the dissolution of Mr. Schaefer's marriage, and to the extent that the facts lend support to any theory, there was some suggestion in some of counsel's documents that perhaps there was a conspiracy by the soon-to-be ex-wife and Mr. Cross to try to create an environment that would lead to Mr. Schaefer's termination. I suggest that theory is much more plausible than in February 2002, Calcan decided to retaliate against Mr. Schaefer because of any conduct in which he may have engaged in the summer of 2001. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Davies. Anything further, Mr. Jackson?
Yes, sir.
One method of demonstrating that harassment is based on sex is to provide evidence of discrepancies of how the harasser treats members of each sex in a mixed-sex workplace. That comes from Smith, and that's citing OnCal versus Sundowner Offshore Services, Inc. And that's exactly the circumstances that we have in this case. Counsel claims that the incidents in this case were not severe, were not pervasive. They were pervasive because they were every day. Every day, males in this plant had to worry about whether or not this guy was going to take his threats to the next level and, in fact, do what he was threatening to do with respect to anal sex with the males. Certainly, I don't know how anybody could call the forced actions in this case not severe enough. Locker room talk, even the talk in the locker room, should not be expected in a workplace, and it should not be expected to continue forever as it has in this plant. Thank you. I see my time is up.
Thank you, counsel. The case is taken under advisement.